When the Environmental Protection Agency mandated cleanup regulations for Lake Champlain, one concern was whether Vermont could actually meet those standards. Now, there's a new study suggesting that the bar the EPA has set may actually be too low because the lake may be more susceptible to climate change than previously thought. The new study was conducted by scientists at the University of Vermont and Dartmouth College, and here to explain some of the findings is lead author of the study, Asim Zia. He's a professor of public policy and decision analysis at the University of Vermont. Professor Zia, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
What did the study specifically look at, and what were its main findings?
Well, the study was really looking at how sensitive the climate change is for the lake, but also in terms of, like, can we use land management policies to make sure that the lake stays clean?
Well, when you're talking about climate change, I have to imagine the study was kind of a predictor. I mean, we don't know exactly how climate change is going to affect our environment. How did the model work?
Right. So typically the models are based on the historical data. They're calibrated to the last 25, 30 years of data sets. But for projecting into the next 25 years, we looked at very high resolution land use, like 15 land use classifications. There are different scenarios of the climate change. For example, under the worst case climate change scenario, we can see very high 4 degrees centigrade world by the end of this century versus under the Paris Treaty, if that gets implemented, we can get probably up to 2.5, 3 degrees centigrade world. And the best case scenario, like 350 parts per million, we can keep it under 1.5 degrees centigrade. The important thing is that in this study, we modeled all of those different ranges of the scenarios, as well as the different land use management policies. And we simulated about 48 different scenarios to understand the range of different climate and the land use scenarios to see that whether lake, especially the Missisquoi Basin, can be cleaned up or not.
I guess the bad news is that using that model, your study came up with the fact that the EPA, which said that any increases in the phosphorus loads to the lake due to climate change are likely to be modest, your study found that is not the case.
Yes, that's really the key, one of the key findings. I mean, there are a range of findings, but this is really important. It has national and international implications for all the water quality management. Typically, when people think about climate change and they say that climate change is going to have a distant effect on polar bears or people living in Bangladesh or somewhere else, this study demonstrates that the effects are real and are in our neighborhood. Lake Champlain is an important resource, a vital resource for all the Vermonters and New Yorkers and the people of Quebec. But their role in setting up water quality standards has been marginal so far. They've not been the main focus of the models that were used by the EPA to develop those standards. They basically just used one climate scenario for the Missisquoi Basin and didn't explore all the ranges of the scenarios that we did. And I think that was one of the weaknesses in their models. But I don't want to demean the efforts that EPA has put in the current TMDL. It's just like we need to do more to keep the lake clean.
And that acronym you just mentioned, TMDL, stands for Total Maximum Daily Load, and that's what the EPA prepared its lake cleanup rules based on that model, how much the lake can take in phosphorus intake, that
yes.
sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. You kind of answered my next question, which was about what your model took into account that the EPA's didn't, and that was that wider range of scenarios. The biggest problem in the lake in recent years has been these toxic blue-green algae blooms. Does the study point to those algae blooms continuing to be the biggest threat to the health of the lake, or are there other concerns as well?
The focus of the model was on understanding the blue-green algae, but the model can predict about 150 other variables as well. It depends on what is of interest to the policymakers.
Well, let's get into a little bit of that. Does the study make any recommendations about what the state of Vermont could or should do?
Yes, I think the major recommendation is to we need to, not just the state of Vermont, but also at the federal level, reevaluate the TMDL process, like how the TMDLs are set and what type of models are used. Our major goal was to build the adaptive capacity of the region. It's not just a one-shot study. We want to make this model available to the policymakers, not only in Vermont, but also for the rest of the country, to make sure that the climate change impacts are integrated in the decision-making processes when they're setting up the water quality standards. We need to go back to the drawing board and think very clearly whether we want to have a medium to long-term strategy as well to keep the lake resilient against these threats from the climate change.
kind of hate to ask this next question. You mentioned in your answer there you're not a policymaker. You're making recommendations for lawmakers. Does your study take into account what some of these improvements to protecting the lake could cost? Because it always comes down, it seems, to money.
Yes. Yeah, so this study is based off of a grant that we just ended from the Vermont EBSCOR, but NSF has given us another 5 years grant, and we're going to get deeper into the cost. We just started that work, and we're going to be looking at the cost very, very closely. Especially, I think there are some interesting trade-offs between cost in the agriculture sector versus urban sector versus stormwater. So we want to look into those details, like where is the most cost-effective path to mitigate this phosphorus pollution in the lake. Our preliminary assessment is that there is not going to be one single bullet solution. It will have to be done by all the sectors. If we are going to ratchet up the regulations in terms of the pollution control, we will need to figure out like a more comprehensive, holistic approach. From the land use, land management perspective, forest conservation and wetland conservation really can play a very, very important role. But under climate change, there is a counterintuitive effect that maybe agricultural expansion can happen as the temperature warms up. And the agricultural expansion is not necessarily always spells good for the water quality. So what we need to really think deeply is about what type of development paradigm do we want to have for urbanization as well as for the agricultural expansion? You know, like whether we want to have permaculture or ecological design, agroecology-based agricultural system that conserves the water as well as produces jobs? Or do we want to have like a globalization, like a single mono dairy farm culture that would basically maximize the economic productivity but may not necessarily lead to more jobs or better water quality?
How much of all of this will be dependent on something like the Paris Climate Agreement? We don't know what's going to happen, whether or not President-elect Trump actually pulls out of that. If, let's say, the United States does pull out of that agreement, if other major countries don't do their bit, will it matter at all?
That was another implication of the study. We clearly modeled that scenario that includes both the perfect implementation of Paris Treaty, as well as like there are violations of that. And what we find is that the best case climate change scenario can basically have a huge effect on keeping the lake water clean.
Asim Zia is a professor of public policy and decision analysis at the University of Vermont. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I really appreciate this.